We're doing the Mark reading.
There's two up here. Very confusing. So I'll go with Mark. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the 21st verse. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words that flow from my mouth be inspired by your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think today's Gospel reading is actually pretty well timed with the time of year that we're experiencing now. In the days that follow the Australia Day public holiday, it normally marks the time of year when everybody is properly back at work. There are lots of different people and professions that have pushed through the January period, but by tomorrow, all the schools are back. The tradies should be back at the job site, depending on the weather, probably. And businesses and organisations that shut down or slow down over the Christmas January period tend to be back to their normal pattern of business. And it's good timing for this reading because today's gospel passage is the first time in Mark's account that Jesus gets down to work. When we get down to work properly, we like to know that what we do makes an impact. And what Jesus does makes an impact immediately. It's kind of like the first century version of going viral. Each of the four Gospels focuses slightly differently on the first significant work of Jesus. Matthew has Jesus getting down to work by teaching, proclaiming the good news and healing, followed by the specific teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke begins with Jesus teaching and his rejection from the people of his hometown of Nazareth, while John's first highlight of Jesus' work is the miracle of turning water into wine. Each one of these first big works of Jesus points to how the gospel writer will help us to understand who Jesus is and why and what he does. And for Mark, the first work of Jesus is teaching and an exorcism. Now, in terms of relating to the time of year, you could be forgiven that now is where we start getting unrelatable. Casting out unclean spirits that result in convulsions and crying with a loud voice aren't the type of things we see in our day and age, particularly in a respectable Anglican church like ours. You might hear about that sort of thing happening in other churches. or in other parts of the world from time to time. But my guess, when you woke up this morning and thought about all the things that you were excited about and looking forward to going to church, deliverance ministry wasn't probably on the top of your list. And of the topics that you thought that I might be preaching on today, exorcism might not have been on the top of the list either. But I'm going to suggest today that perhaps it should have been. The most common place that we encounter exorcism these days is on our TV screens or in a movie theatre. Last year was another release of the popular Exorcist horror movie series and franchise. Now, I don't mind the odd scary movie, but I've actually never been inclined to watch one of those movies. Not sure why, just haven't. But it may surprise you that in the Anglican Church of Southeast Queensland, we have a designated priest who is our go-to exorcist. And it's not something that I do regularly, but every now and then, maybe on average once or twice a year, I get asked to pray with or for someone who is experiencing some sort of supernatural presence of evil in their life or in a specific location. We might think that talking about evil isn't the sort of thing that we need to do today because people out there think that Christians are weird enough anyway. But actually, when we think about it, pretty much everyone, whether they call themselves religious or not, has a concept of evil. All cultures or world religions have some sort of narrative around evil. And in our westernized culture, evil can actually be popular. Just look at the movies that are on in our theatres and the proliferation of sci-fi and fantasy genres. There's that popular theme of good versus evil in most forms of entertainment. One of the most popular genres at the moment is the true crime genre, which often has that deep wrestle with somebody who is acting in what we would say is an evil way. And our media loves to lure us with headlines highlighting the many evils that we see around us. And so on the one hand, it might seem like we're just getting weird by talking about this stuff to those outside the church. But that's actually one area of commonality that we can connect with our outside world. And we might actually have something different to say about it. While the extremes might sell movie tickets, get clicks and downloads online, it's not actually the extremes that I want to focus on this morning. I do think deliverance can be relatable, but perhaps a way of doing that is to recognize how important and necessary deliverance is in our own lives. The word that is translated as authority in this passage can equally be translated as power. When the word authority is used in Scripture, I always think that you should be very careful of how we put a context around that word, because I don't think it has got anything to do with forcing the will of one person onto another, as authority can be sometimes explained in our world. Authority in Scripture is always about authoring something, bringing something to life, or making something possible. And in Mark's gospel, when Jesus teaches, he has that same sense of authority and power, authoring something, bringing something to life, making something possible. And he does it in a way where those who experience it declare that it's something that they have never experienced before. And in Mark's gospel, the work of Jesus is done with the same power and authority as his teaching. So much so that teaching and the works of Jesus become intertwined and inseparable. The deliverance of the man with the unclean spirit in and of itself wasn't part of the script of the teaching that Jesus gave on the Sabbath, on that Saturday in Capernaum. But it's what happened next that becomes indistinguishable from his teaching. When Jesus teaches, when Jesus gets to work, things are set free, they are released, and they are delivered. The same word that we can translate as authority and power can also be translated as liberty or freedom. And that's one thing I think that is highly relatable in our world today. Liberation. Being set free is something that everyone seeks in their quest for spiritual fulfillment. Yes, everyone is on a quest for spiritual fulfillment. Because whether we have a faith perspective or not, we are all physical, relational, emotional, and spiritual beings. And that's actually not controversial to say to people who don't have a faith perspective. People who aren't religious will still identify that they are spiritual. Christians are spiritually formed, however, in part by the deliverance work of Jesus. And that's what sets us apart from other religions and those of no religion. However, it is easy for us to lose focus on this aspect of our formation. And sometimes we can also easily lose perspective. Liberation and deliverance, I think, is really relatable right at this moment, because everywhere you go, every time you flick on the news, somebody is saying something about the cost of living crisis that we're all in. There seems to be a corporate communal longing to be livered, to be delivered from hashtag Cozzy Lives. And it might sound somewhat outrageous for me to say this, but I will. I know that Jesus' teaching and Jesus' works can deliver us from our cost of living crisis. And the reason it might sound outrageous for me to say these words is because when we think about it, we often think about the extremes. Something equivalent to the exorcism of the man with the unclean spirit. So we would think, our first thought would be that for Jesus to deliver us from the cost of living crisis, that means me winning the $200 million in this week's Powerball. Or it might mean that Jesus delivers me from the cost of living crisis by working through the right politician in the right political party with the right taxation policy. Or Jesus delivers me by inspiring my boss to give me a pay rise. Or Jesus delivers me by manipulating the markets so that interest rates supernaturally fall. I actually don't think that that's likely to happen. Because when I look at the teaching of Jesus and the works of Jesus around money, we find that it's a lot less extreme and a lot more ordinary. Jesus teaches on money more than any other subject other than the kingdom of God. And his teaching can be summarized by a deliverance from the binding powers of wealth, money, and materiality. Teachings like, consider the lilies of the field, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus' teaching and work can deliver and liberate in the extremes, but his teaching and work will always deliver and liberate in the ordinary and the everyday. An attitude towards our finances that is founded on the teaching and work of Jesus, I reckon that would be transformative for all of us, both inside and outside the church right at this moment. And it's going to look nothing like the winning numbers for this week's draw. But it's going to look a lot more like being transformed in our attitudes and being liberated from the bondage that money can have over us when we start to idolize it. I don't want to discount the possibility of God working in these extreme, magnificent ways. God has, throughout human history, continued to work in these ways, and I trust and believe that God will when God's will be done. But in the meantime, I want to be able to pay better attention to the way that God is working in the ordinary, in the everyday. There may be someone who we come across that does have an unclean spirit. There is absolutely evil at work in our world, and through the power and protection of the Holy Spirit, we can, on a rare occasion, see God delivering in those situations. But waiting for those moments to happen and putting our faith only in God working through the big moments and the extremes, well, that's not only just bad theology. It's not the way that Jesus teaches in the scriptures. It's not the way that Jesus teaches us to live every day. We should be asking on a regular basis, part of our confession and our connection with God, what are the realities that possess me that I need to pray for Jesus' power and authority to cast out? And we can allow ourselves to be possessed by so many different things. So many ordinary things can steal our joy, can rob our hope, can escalate anxiety instead of bringing the peace that Jesus promises. So many things can cause us to focus only inwards rather than acting out of love and service for the benefit of others. And I think it's actually more likely that it's the ordinary things in our lives that can become so insidious, because they're ordinary. What sort of damage could they do? They could be things like money or control, habits, emotions, even religiosity can become ungodly. Over time, if left unliberated, undelivered, these types of things can actually change our character to a point when we no longer resemble anything like Jesus. And when followers of Jesus don't look anything like Jesus, then how are we called to live out the mission of Christ in the world, let alone become relatable to those outside of the church? I know lots of stories, and maybe you do as well, of people who walk away from their faith because God has not delivered them in the extremes, in the big moments. I actually think the real problem is that it's so easy to become blind to God working and delivering in the ordinary. And if we were able to pay more attention to God at work in the ordinary, then we would be actually able to look at our lives with a perspective of how extraordinary that actually is. So I pray, come Holy Spirit and open my eyes to the teaching and works of Jesus, that I might see the deliverance, liberation, and transformation that Jesus continues to do in every aspect of my life, especially the most ordinary parts. It is time for us to get back to work as followers of Jesus. So let's let Jesus get back to his work of teaching and deliverance. Amen.